Hi, this is Bram Presser, and I have just written a novel called The Book of Dirt, based on my grandparents' experiences during the occupation of Prague and then the Holocaust.
So are you first or second generation Australian?
I'm first generation Australian only because my parents were both born overseas, mum in Prague, dad in New York. I'm third generation in the kind of survivor line.
And what did you do before you wrote your book?
I'm technically a lawyer, but I don't practice all that much. Before that, I was a singer in a very strange Jewish punk band that sang mostly in Hebrew, doing punk versions of the Israeli classics, so like the prayer book classics, which I've all around the world doing that, which is very strange.
So this is quite a transformation, Bram, from being a singer in a punk in a Jewish punk band. You delve into history, and you've written a book based on your family history. So
yes.
Maybe we should talk about your family history first. Tell us, who is your
right.
grandfather that you based your story on?
So my grandfather was actually someone who was very well known in the Melbourne Jewish community. His name was Dr. Ronda, and he taught at Mount Scopus for 40 years. He was known as the Dik Duk Doc for his love of and brilliance in Hebrew grammar. And he was an incredible man and someone who taught you know, generations of Australian kids who never knew anything about him, really.
This is amazing. So he taught Hebrew, but he never lived in Israel. So
no.
Where did he
and
learn
only
Hebrew?
That, he only visited Israel maybe once or twice. And that's a very good question where he learned Hebrew, because the answer is I don't actually know. I only know that he was born into a Hasidic family in a kind of country village in the former Czechoslovakia. That would have been probably his first language. He was in Prague by the time he was in his late 20s, and he was already teaching Hebrew at a Jewish school there. I mean, he was a lawyer by profession, and he had a PhD in law, but he got his PhD only weeks before the Nazis occupied Prague, and so he couldn't practice, and so he was forced to stay only teaching Hebrew at the Jewish school, because Jewish kids weren't allowed to go to regular schools anymore. And then he went on and kept teaching it through in Theresienstadt in Auschwitz as well, and then came to Australia and continued teaching. He never picked back up on the law. Teaching Hebrew was always his, I suppose it was his passion, really, to see Jewish kids continuing to learn the language.
But he never told you his story of survival.
No. Not only did he not tell me his story of survival, you know, I had an idea of what his story of survival was, and then a couple of years after he died, a newspaper article was published telling an entirely different version of his story, which said that he was the literary curator of Hitler's Museum of the Extinct Race. And I knew nothing about this. I'd heard about the museum when I went to Prague and had been on tours in Jewish Prague. But in terms of his involvement, I knew nothing. The most incredible thing for me was, like, I was very close with him. Like, we were inseparable. He died when I was 19. I wasn't a little kid who couldn't know a story, but he never spoke.
Do you think he was guilty? He felt guilt that he survived?
Look, I do, very much so. I think that his mother, his brother, and also his best friend all were killed. I think he felt guilty. He was given a position during the war that actually gave him a chance to survive.
Can you please elaborate on his position?
The article about him being the literary curator of the Museum of the Extinct Race isn't right, simply because there actually was no Nazi plan to make a Museum of the Extinct Race. It's a post-war concept that has gained currency, and everyone just accepts it as fact, but it's actually not true. What he did do, though, he was selected in Theresienstadt to be part of a secret group called the Talmud Commando, who were tasked with sorting and cataloguing all the Jewish texts that had been stolen from around occupied Europe. And we're talking about, you know, handwritten manuscripts like Rashi's from the 1600s, with, you know, amazing, priceless texts that he was part of this group that was responsible for cataloguing. And there were only like 30 or 40 of them. Those who were involved in it were given extra food, they were given, you know, better conditions, etc. So he'd actually, by the time he was taken to Auschwitz, he was physically in a better position to survive for longer, at least until they liquidated the camp he was in and he was taken to one of the slave labor camps in Germany. He felt incredibly guilty that the people he loved, though they got a bit of privilege from him from his position didn't get the same level that he did, and so therefore he was able to survive, was never really able to help them to survive. And I think he really was incredibly racked with guilt. He blamed himself for his mother's death because he took her bread ration in Auschwitz. Terrible guilt to feel and to live with. And I think he, like many survivors, understandably, just chose not to talk about it. He shut down. He shut it out of his life. You know, my mother tells me of stories as a child waking up and hearing my grandparents and just screaming from the other room in nightmares. In terms of actually telling the story, they just couldn't do it.
I think it's incredible, his story of survival. Even though he didn't share it with his family, he managed to actually come to Australia and establish his life and be a teacher for 40 years and move on in his life. But can you tell us, how did you find out about his history? You said he didn't tell, and the other people in the group also kept it as a secret.
Yeah, so this is the thing. There were only about five or six people from the group, from the Talmud commander, who actually survived. And none of them ever told the story. There's no survivor testimony from Talmud Commando. And more interestingly, they never spoke to one another again. None of them got back in contact with one another. I found out because basically I became obsessed with finding out what his story was. And I ended up running around the world, going to archives, meeting people who knew him. Halfway through writing it, I was ready to give up. And then I get an email. It's from a man in his 90s in London, who had heard about my quest to find out about my grandfather, and he said that he was one of my grandfather's students in Prague before the war.
Oh, wow.
And he'd been spending the last, since his retirement, he's been spending his years trying to work out what happened to all the people in his class photographs from 1942, and the only person who he couldn't find what happened to was my grandfather. And every now and then, he typed my grandfather's name into Google, hoping it would come up, and one day it came up to do with, he heard from the people at Beit Terezin, Givat Chaim in Israel, that the grandson was searching for him, and they connected us. And I went to visit him in London, and he was able to let me in on a lot of the story. We actually kind of worked almost together trying to piece the story together. Me, you know, the grandson, and him, the former student in his 90s, an incredible man. It was a lot of digging. There was a bit of luck as well. Like, the Jewish Museum of Prague uncovered a bunch of Nazi documents that actually they worked out were the worksheets for the Talmud Commando. And they got in touch with me because they knew I was looking for anything to do with him, and his name was on all of these documents.
So it was from Nazi archives, actually, that you found out the information about your grandfather. We're talking to Brem Presser. Brem has written a novel called The Book of Dirt. Can you please tell us something about your book?
The book is partially my quest to uncover the story of my grandparents, but it's also the story of, like, my reimagining of the story. It is a novel. It's not a history. It's not a biography. It's my reimagining of their lives before the war and through the war. It finishes just at the end of the war. The lives they lived in Prague during the occupation, also the lives they lived during the Holocaust, like in the camps. I think it's very easy for us to kind of get so overwhelmed by the horror of the Holocaust that we don't think that, you know, people had to make lives there. They had relationships, they had friendships, they learned things, they taught things, they worked like slaves, they built micro-societies.
We are talking to Brem Presser, a writer of the book, The Book of Dirt, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Brem Presser, thank you so much and good luck.